Good morning, everyone. Time for the Saturday Morning Coaches Show, brought to you by Jim's Clothing and Sporting Goods in Dawson, the Country Butcher in Dawson, and Madison Bottling Company. Now the Coaches Show with Dick Newman and Paul Ramo.
And a good Saturday morning to everyone. Paul Ramo here in the studio. Dick Newman with the Saturday off today on a beautiful Saturday. Boy, I tell you what, went outside earlier this morning, and I don't know what the temperature was, but it was pretty nice already early on this morning. Still is. Not a cloud in the sky, and looking for a great Saturday today. Of course, we start the coaches show in the spring at 8:30, not 9 o'clock, and we'll continue with the coaches show after 9 o'clock this morning as well. So, because we have so many coaches to talk to, we can't get them all in an hour, so we backed it up early at 8:30 this morning. Of course, Coach's Show sponsored by Madison Bottling Company, Country Butcher, and Jim's Clothing and Sporting Goods. And in the studio with us is Barry Bessenden, head coach of the La Caparra Valley Golf Team, and nice weather to golf. Well, today would be a nice weather to golf.
Today would be a nice day. Yesterday would have been a nice day. Or we played Thursday,
yeah.
Which was
still cold.
Cold. We saw everything, I think, in that time. We got the times before we started, the sun would come out, and it was really kind of nice. The wind would go down, but that usually lasted about 2 minutes, and then it would go behind the clouds, and the wind would fire back up. And we had about a minute or two of a shower,
and
gusty winds that, as the time went on, became more sustained and stronger. So it was very, very challenging conditions. But it was good to get the opener in. The Ortonville course is in great shape. They do a great job maintaining that, and everything was looking good. And the greens have been mowed a couple times, including that afternoon. So they were rolling pretty well, which is something new to, I think, a lot of us because. This time of year, courses are just kind of getting ready and depending where they're at on their schedules and things as far as mowing and that. So, given the conditions, we went up there and first Camden Conference meet of the season. We went and placed third out of six teams, 9 shots out of first. Central Minnesota Christian won it with 171. Dawson Boyd was second at 174. We were at 180. Community Christian at 187, Ortonville at 194, and McCray at 198. Again, in those conditions, we knew the scores were going to be up a little bit. Mm-hmm. Plus, it's early season, and for a lot of people, you're still kind of getting used to, being outdoors, and especially on the chipping and putting. The short shots are kind of the things that take a little while to come.
And you said the course was pretty in really good shape.
Course was in good shape. The fairways were good. Like I said, the greens were rolling nicely with having been cut a couple times, and so it came through the winter, I think, pretty well. If not that we really had much winter, but
Does that affect the golf course, greens and stuff, when there's really not a lot of snow during the winter?
Well, I think you'd have to ask a
greenskeeper.
A greenskeeper, someone who's got some turf management background, which I haven't gotten around to, I guess.
So. Right. Okay. Talk a little about each individual boy on your team, then.
Okay. Well, individually, we were led by Carson Bessenden, who was the medalist, won the event, shot a 2-over-par 38, and mm-hmm. hit the ball really well in the wind. His two bogeys were both 3 putts. So, given the conditions, he played very well. Yeah. He hit the greens when he missed. He was right around the greens, and so he had 2 3 putt bogeys. And as he said, both of those were probably attributed to just kind of that early season. Get used to some green speeds and that sort of thing. I hadn't been on anything quite that quick yet, and not that they're quick, but they're quicker than what we've been practicing on. So, but still very pleased with that. Caden Stender shot a 40, which I think was a career 9-hole low, and he ended up placing third in the event. So, a great day for Caden. Hit the ball well, managed himself well around the course. Matt Arndt was our third scorer with a 49. Matt had some good shots and some good holes, and then he had some penalty strokes in there that got him. And again, it's you know, kind of that early season thing for everybody, and I think, you know, he'll come down a little bit. Noah Arndt played had our four score with a 53. Just kind of had a tough day out there, and then our fifth player, we only played five. We had a couple kids that were gone for other events. So fifth player is Griffin Kranz, a seventh grader, a very talented kid who, there'd be some nerves, first varsity experience in anything, and there were some nerves. He ended up shooting 54, but, came out with a good attitude and was very positive and understanding. You know, he did hit some good shots and had some good holes, but tough conditions to play your first varsity meet with the weather and everything else. But I'm very confident, too, that he's going to all these guys, scores are gonna drop right as the season goes, and hopefully the weather improves and that sort of thing, and we get get out on the courses a little more.
Yep. Yeah, so that was your first match of the season, right?
Yes.
Okay. And so as a coach, how do you start your first match and you want to be playing your best golf by the time sections come. So
yep.
Do you change practices up, or what do you do as a coach with that?
Well, I think, as the schedule gets going, it kind of becomes a little more intense with meets, even starting next week. So practices are the kids get out there, and this is a group of kids that they'll play and they'll practice and they'll go out after practice and play more, they like to be out there. And, some of it's identifying individual weaknesses, because it's not always the same thing that's maybe affecting the same kid. One kid, it might be not driving the ball well. Another one, it might be not putting well. And so it's kind of attacking, some of those things individually. But it's just, getting out there and playing. And I think everybody improves as the spring goes on, because, the weather gets better and it makes it a little easier to play. You're not always, it's a little cooler and you're swinging with layers on. It's a little windier in April. I think April's a little windier month than in May. The downtime of winter kind of getting the rust off, too. So everyone naturally improves over the course of – but, the goal is to peak then. And you just work on the things you do and hope that everything kind of falls into place.
You mentioned last week the boys really put some time in over the summer. I know Carson was in some tournaments, wasn't he?
Yeah, he played quite a bit last summer at some events around the state, a few down in the cities and the other place, Brainerd area, and so he traveled quite a bit for some things. So
what's that through again? Is it like AAU type thing?
It's a Minnesota Junior PGA. Okay. They have that. They have events. They have different levels, competitive levels. And, in his case, he plays on the invitation only level, which is the highest one. But they have levels for different age brackets, and which they use different distances and things like that. I know we've had some other kids. I know of those over in the last couple of years, and obviously at his age level, the course setup's a little different and that. But they have those, and it's a great thing. And then there's other things you can find too. So there's whether it's through MGA or through other entities or just some independent things too. So,
but you get a chance to, as a coach, to play some golf or practice with them, or you swing, or
indoor is one day I hit about 10 balls, but I played once before the season started when it was really nice in early March, but I played 9 holes, so maybe this weekend it's supposed to be nice. I hope to get out and play before I go watch the Masters. So
some golf courses opened up early, didn't they,
because there's a lot of courses were open early, so it's nice to be able to usually it's my schedule doesn't allow it, but it's nice to be able to get out, and then I'm a kind of a weekend golfer, at least early part of the golf season.
All right, what do you got coming up this week then for the boys golf team?
We get busy. We get busy. Monday we go down to the Marshall Invitational. I guess 16 or 17 teams down there. Supposed to be a nice warm day for that, so it'll be nice. We get a couple days off. Then Thursday we're scheduled to host our conference meet here in Madison.
Okay.
Thursday 4:30.
Is that boys, girls?
Boys and girls both. And then Friday we go to the Mineota Invitational, which I believe is like an old 11 o'clock tee time.
Oh, 18 hole?
18 holes. And then Saturday we're going down to the Worthington Trojan Invitational, which I think is scheduled for a 9 o'clock tee time.
Oh, wow.
So we'll be up bright and early heading down to Worthington next Saturday morning.
Okay, well, we'll have to talk to you Friday night or something. Then we'll get you in sometime.
Yep.
All right. Well, that is a busy schedule,
isn't
it? It's
a busy schedule. The next couple of weeks are pretty busy. So.
All right, Barry, thanks for coming in this morning, and enjoy the rest of your weekend.
All right.
Head coach Barry Bessonen of the Lacapra Valley Boys Golf Team. We'll hear from Kip Stender right after these words from our fine sponsors.
You'll find quality meat for your family's table at the Country Butcher, downtown Dawson. Stop by right downtown or give them a call, 320-769-2238. The Country Butcher will accept credit cards, checks, EBT, SNAP, and cash. This week at the Country Butcher, butter just $5 a pound. Marinated chicken breasts are 10% off. Store hours Tuesday through Friday, 10 a.m. to 5:30 p.m. Saturdays, 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. Sunday by appointment. That's the Country Butcher in Dawson. They're a cut above the rest.
Sundrop, the original citrus soda, predates any of the other copycat citrus sodas. Sundrop is a local favorite that has been distributed by Madison Bottling Company since the 1960s. Thanks for making Sundrop the local citrus soda favorite. Distributed by Madison Bottling Company, serving the local area for more than 100 years.
Jim's Clothing and Sporting Goods, right downtown Dawson, Minnesota, is your one-stop shopping headquarters for graphic art design, embroidery, screen printing, and specialty advertising products. They specialize in corporate, team, and school clothing, hats, jackets, t-shirts, sweats, advertising specialties for any occasion like family reunions, summer camps, and more. Awards and sporting goods. At Jim's Clothing and Sporting Goods in Dawson, they offer personalized stock or custom graphic designs to fit any job you may need. Give them a call at 320-769-2317 for information. Information or look them up on the web at www.jimsclothing.com.
It's the annual Porter Community Auction Sale, Saturday, April 13th. Vehicles starting at 9:30 and all other rings starting at 10 o'clock. On this community auction, machinery equipment, skid loader attachments, livestock equipment, vehicles, miscellaneous building materials, and many household and personal property items. Buyers from far and wide, come on over to Porter for the Porter Community Auction this Saturday. Sale sponsored by Porter Town & Country. Auction listing online, sdauctions.com, allauctionsales.com, portermn.org. Find us on Facebook at Lorenzen Auction. Questions? Call Charlie at 605-695-6240. Welcome back to the Saturday Morning Coaches Show. Kip Stender joins us on the Coaches Show this morning. Kip, big day today. Where are you today?
We're at Oakdale, Buffalo Lake, and we're golfing Southwest Christian out of Chaska.
Okay, and there's a connection there, I understand, huh?
Yeah, Bill Hogue's the coach at Southwest Christian. His wife, I believe, is from Bellingham.
Yep.
And his parents lived on a farm site west of town here for a while that they've kind of fixed up, and he was always going to bring his team out for a retreat and golf us at Madison. But he decided to meet in the middle, kind of, and that's where we're going to have a dual meet with them today.
All right. We'll talk a little more about that later. But, you got the golf season underway. You had a couple of meets this week.
Yeah, we were able to get going in Wilmer on Tuesday. Pretty good weather last year. Our first date was April 24th, so it was nice to get out there. We finished fifth with a 407 as a team. Dawson Boyd won it with a 372. Sartell was second with a 379, and Bold was third with a 386. Individual-wise, Annika Jerkis from Fergus Falls won it with a 77. Kenna Hendrickson from Bold was second with an 80. Lindsay Lund shot an 80 for tied for second also. Finishing for the Eagles in seventh with a 91 was Caitlin Kittleson. Molly Halverson finished 10th with a 94. Going through here, we got a couple other golfers here. Peyton Sachs shot a 109. That was 36. Grace Vosick, 113. And
a large tournament, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was, yeah. I think, 7-8 teams there. So, and I'm just trying to see. Well, Carly had a 127.
Carly Kranz.
Okay. And Kate Alstead shot a 120.
Okay.
So I think the girls were They're learning that they need to trust the team. They all want to do very well. They all want to make up for Bella not being there. They know that she was a very strong, solid scorer last year all the time. Yep. So they all were trying to do their best. And when it wasn't going so great, they just put more pressure on themselves. So we learned a lot that day. And Thursday, we went on to the conference, first conference meetup in Ortonville. And they shot a lot better, played a lot better, relaxed. We had a good practice Wednesday. So, you know, they're back on track. Our focus is, you know, where we're going to be in May. And so they, you know, we were 30-some strokes behind Dawson on Tuesday and finished one stroke on Thursday. So that was quite the improvement. And granted, it's 18 holes versus 9, but you cut that in half, 16, 17,
yep,
you know, strokes. So they're coming. Like I said, they're a great team, and they all want to do very well. So, you know, once they learn to trust that, hey, my other teammates are going to do fine when I'm not, and just keep playing and not get caught up worrying about their score. Not that they're worrying about it, but yeah, they, you know, just puts pressure on themselves. So they're learning that, and that's nice to see.
Yeah. Yeah, what's the courses like in Wilmer and Ortonville?
Wilmer, you know, they had just mowed the greens for the first time that day, so they were a little slower, definitely slower than what they'll be at sections. Ortonville, I think, has mowed theirs a couple times, so the greens were really nice. They rolled nice. Ortonville always, you know, their course is always in good shape, and Wilmer's was in good shape too. So just a little wet in Wilmer, but, they, you know, they both played well. Very windy Thursday night at Ortonville. And,
oh, yeah.
And
cold?
And a little cold, but yeah, it was, you know, once when the clouds came and the sun went away, then that was the,
yeah,
that's
it
when
cold,
it got,
yeah,
cold, yeah.
Yeah, the results there?
Yeah.
So in Ortonville?
Yeah, in Ortonville, Dawson, like I said, won it with a 187. Lacaparra was a 180. Oh. Christian was third with a 227. Individual-wise, they gave out 5 medals at Ortonville, and so I got that here and get to the individual scores. Alyssa Swedinski from Dawson won it with a 41. Molly Halverson shot a 42 for second. Lindsay Lund was third with a 43. Caitlin Kittleson was fourth with a 47. Peyton Sachs was fifth with a 49. Grace Fossick tied for sixth with a 50. Those are our 4 scores for the team. And Carly Cran shot a 61, and Kate Alstead shot a 62. So all the girls were 50 or better, so that was nice. So, you know, like I said, they're learning to trust the team, trust their swings. A few of them were working on some very, very structural things, so it's going to take a little time before they'll see the results of those changes, so they got to stick with it. And what's hard is when it's not working to revert back to the old habits or, you know, natural swings that we'll get another 10 yards if we can get this down pat.
Right.
So those are things we're working on. They're working hard at it. The coaches are doing a great job with them, and they're all on the same page. So we'll see improvement as we go.
Good. Well, I can see probably going to be a battle each meet with the Lacaparra Valley and Dawson Boy and Girls, huh?
Yeah, it's been happening for a few years, and they've got a solid team. They got, you know, really 6 girls and 4, you know, that have great varsity experience, you know, coming back. So they're a great team, and Bold, when we get to the section levels, also a good team and program. So
when do you see Bold on the line?
See them in Marshall on Tuesday if the weather holds off there. And we saw him at Wilmer. I'm not sure if we'll see him again until sections.
Okay. All right. Anything else on the meets from last week? Or?
No, that would take care of the weeks that, you know, the 2 that we got in.
All right. You got a big event coming up. You want to talk about that now? Or
yeah, we have a preseason, you know, golf fundraiser on Monday the 15th, steak supper at the VFW in Madison. I have a very awesome speaker that was able to come. We interviewed her last week, Dr. Yvonne Mosquera-Schmidt. And I just think it would be great for anybody out there in the community that would love to come and support the golf team. But more importantly, I think hear the message that she's going to share. Yvonne is a 3-time cancer survivor, lost her eyesight before the age of 2. And has done tremendous things in her life that I think any sightseeing person would have an amazing story to tell. So Just come and hear her story. She's a very positive, upbeat person, and I think it would be a great thing for the community, our way to give back to them for supporting us over the years. And, you know, the fundraisers we do support our program by, you know, buying our bags, a lot of team pride type things, helping us to go to certain tournaments that we have to pay larger fees for in hotel rooms and things like that. So it's truly a community program, and we want to share that, and I think it's a win-win for everybody.
That's right. Can't wait to hear Dr. Yvonne. Like you said, we interviewed her last Saturday, an amazing person, totally blind, and what she has accomplished in her life is absolutely amazing. And she's fun to talk to, and she'll be at the Madison VFW Monday at 6 o'clock. So, you know, it's free. It's a like Kip said, it's a fundraiser for the golf team. So come in and support the golf team and hear a great speaker on Monday.
And so when you come in, you know, we'll have you basically register, or, you know, $20 upper and or free will offering. And it's all tax deductible. The school will send out a form for you, and so we'll get your name and address, and we'd like to also thank everybody personally with the girls and the team. So we'll be doing that, and then about 6:45, or, you know, once everybody's done going through the line, we'll get Yvonne going, and I think she talked about bringing out some of her memorabilia from different Olympics that she's been in. So
yeah, she's an elite athlete too.
Yeah, we could auction it off or something. So we'll bring that. But she's an amazing athlete,
Olympian. And she has spoken in front of the UN and very major corporations across the country, and that was Kip's phone, not mine.
So we're looking forward to that, and I'm just fortunate to, you know, have met her and have the ability to have her come out and share her life story and benefit a lot of people, I think.
Okay. What do you got coming up this week for the golf team?
So then Tuesday we would head to Marshall for an 18-hole tournament there, and then Thursday would be hosting the conference meet at Madison.
Okay. Looks like rain Tuesday.
Yeah, and Thursday looks a little cold too. Yeah. So it looks like a few days in there. So we'll see what happens. At least we got two in.
You can golf in the rain.
As long as it's not, you know, 30, you know, below 25, 30, you know, wind. If it depends on, there's a lot of factors. Wind and rain and cold is not good, but one of them alone isn't the end of the world. So
okay, anything else, Kip?
No, that would do it, Paul.
Okay. All right, thanks a lot, Kip, for coming in.
All right, thanks, Paul.
Good luck today. Against who again?
Southwest Christian from Chaska.
Chaska. Good luck today with that.
Thank you.
Kip Stender, Lacapaw Valley Girls Golf Coach. Take a break, and we'll be right back after this.
Mental health and substance use disorders are complex, stigmatizing, and can be overwhelming issues for families to face. Finding the right diagnosis and care can sometimes feel impossible, especially when you don't know where to start looking. Hazelden Betty Ford understands what your family is going through. Hazelden Betty Ford's patient access team will direct you towards a clear path forward, in network with most insurances. This message is brought to you by Hazelden Betty Ford, the Minnesota Broadcasters Association, and this station.
What you gonna do? What you gonna do? What you gonna do with all the money you save?
What you gonna do with all the money you save this week at Jubilee Foods in Madison? In the meat department, Boston Butt Pork Grills, $2.19 a pound. Roma tomatoes are 99 cents a pound. We got 5 ears of bicolor sweet corn, just $3. At Jubilee Foods in Madison, where they bank your groceries and carry them right out to your car.
What you gonna do with all the money you save?
The time now, 9:06. Good morning, everyone. Time for the Saturday Morning Coaches Show, brought to you by Jim's Clothing and Sporting Goods in Dawson, the Country Butcher in Dawson, and Madison Bottling Company. Now the Coaches Show with Dick Newman and Paul Ramo.
And a good Saturday morning once again. Paul Ramo here in the studio. Dick Newman with the Saturday off on a gorgeous Saturday. And we already talked with both golf coaches from 8:30 to 9. Now we're jam-packed for another hour with, we got John Sherb in the studio. Good morning, John.
Morning.
Talk track.
Yeah.
Were you busy this week?
Oh, God. I'm trying to make sure my head is not spinning right now because we got a track meet Tuesday, Thursday. I went over to help Joel out with a junior high meet on Friday. So it's been a long week.
A long week, but you got a lot that. Good results for Lacapra Valley Dawson Boyd track.
Yeah, went really well. It was good to get something in, and we went up to Morris on Tuesday. The only bad thing with the two meets we had this week, we're limited to entries. So that when we got nice numbers on the girls' side and the boys' side too. It's now you can't take some kids or you can't find an event. So that was kind of the pain. But this week was both meets we went to were limited entries, and I don't like seeing that at the beginning of the season. I want to get as many kids and as many events as I can just to find out where they're at and get a stat set for them. So we had to fight that a little bit. But we were already able to do in those 2 days were very good, especially when we got to Thursday's gale force, crappy, ugly, whatever you want to say for conditions are running, but it was not the greatest on Thursday.
Where was Thursday at?
Lakeview, Thursday. Yeah. Okay. So Morris turned out to be a good one. There ended up being like 13 teams, so it was a good-sized meet there, too. A lot of big schools. And so,
where did they run the track meet
at the Morris? College track, right down from Big Cat Stadium, below the hill from Big Cat Stadium.
Oh, the football field inside it?
Nope, the Big Cat's on top of the big hill, down to the bottom, down to the low level, and that's where the track may have been. The original football field.
Yeah, oh, the original football
field. I'm
old enough. I'm more familiar with that. Okay.
But that's where it's down there. So, okay. Like I said, it was good just to get something and find out, because we got a lot of new kids in new spots. I really moved them around. So what I'll do is, like, for example, a couple of races we didn't place in by the top eight, I'll still recognize our top runner, because just with this many meets this week, it turns into a lot of talking, so I'm at least going to recognize the top kid in each event. Girls 100 meter dash, Atiana Specht was our top girl, and she was 14th. She went 14.30, and in the girls 200, our top runner in there was also Atiana. She finished 17th at 31.35. Girls 400 meter dash, Addie Tufto was second in the 400. 103.12. Makai Poost was fourth at 104.60. And Julissa Ramos was 11th at 107.5. 800 meter run. Bryn Glegge, our young seventh grader, we needed to come along to run, so she ended up getting a couple races out of her. Ran really well, 240.76. And Taylor Wood was also 10th at 254.44. Girls mile, Chloe Glegge was second overall. Ran a really good race, just trying to get her back. She had a tough track season last year. The consistency in that mile was off and on. She really, really looked sharp in there. She broke 6 minutes in there, and that wasn't far off her personal best, breaking six. So she was second overall with a time of 5:58.75. In the 100-meter hurdles, Ayanna Hasted was our top one in there. She was third. She ended up finishing 18.21, and that's one of her better races. You know, see where she can, where goals to get under that 18. That's kind of what we keep working for. And it's, you know, it's tough technically when you're getting those technical events to be able to work that through this early. And so I thought that was very good, pretty good through the hurdles there. Then Alexis Olson was 14th at 21.78. The 300 hurdles. End up running really, you know, off and on in spots there. We got young. We're trying to get some young girls in that. And our top runners were there. Alexis Olson, she was 13th at 101.64. And then Ella Stock was right behind her at 4th, 102.98. Girls 4x1. We rebuilt our 4x1 a little bit just to kind of see how that goes. You just, when you haven't had enough handoffs, so I was worried about, thought our kids really, really handled well. You know, it's just, like I told one of the girls in there, I said, you got to have some confidence in your teammates. And I thought we were a little unsure of ourselves, making sure the sticks moved around. But we were fourth overall in that 4x1. That was Hasted to Bailey Bothan, to Katie Hacker, and to Hannah Oy. They were a time of 55.63. I know one thing that may show from, I didn't look, I can't remember what the stats were on Thursday night, but they did start off the wrong line, so they ran a little bit shorter than in the 4x1, so the first girl got a short leg compared to the other ones, just because they were on the, I believe they were on the 4x200 meter start instead of the 4x1, they had the wrong line on, but that's just, again, still ran it with everybody else the same way it went. 4x2, they finished fifth at 201.50. That was Morgan Hansen to Sadie Rosendahl to Bailey Bothan to Addie Tufthill. 4x4, we kind of guessed a little bit this 4x4 to see what we can do. And we ran, you know, one of our best times last year at this time. So that shows we've got some legs to do it. Now we just got to get them to keep knocking it off. We'll have some really nice times. I'm hoping that we get down the teens here by the time we get to May, which should be interesting. They were fourth overall. We have a couple cleaner handoffs. I think we're third, but fourth at 429.53. That was Morgan Hanser to Micaiah Poos to Sadie Rosendahl to Addie Tufthill. Then in the 4x8, and like I said, we rebuilt that one because I needed to put Bryn in there. One of our girls was sick, so we got her in there. They went 1101.90 to finish, you know, that near our personal best we ran last year. We didn't break 11 minutes, I think, till the conference meet last year, so that's a long ways away, and we're running fast right now. That's good to see there. High jump, Ayanna Hasted was second. She went 5 foot, and again, you know, technically with not a lot of technical work, inside, to get outside is a little tougher that way. And Sadie Rosendahl was 12th at 4.4. Then in the girls' long jump, Abigail Alonzo was our top jumper. She was 10th overall with a jump of 13 feet and a half inch. Girls' triple, top jumper in there was Alexis Olson. She went 28.4 and three quarters, and Morgan Anderson was right behind her at 28.1. Girls' shot put, Haley Anderson was fourth, 32 feet 4.5 inches, and that's a good start for her. There were some girls that could really could hit that out there, and that was good to see her getting into that, you know, deeper competition. See where there. Girls' discus, Haley was also fifth in the discus. She went 86 feet 6 inches, and then Micaiah Elias was 19th at 62 feet 6. Now, boys' 100, again, we've had to rebuild a little bit there. We put some new kids in some spots to see where that. Tygan Allpress was our top runner there. He was 13th overall at 12.21, and then Noah Myers 18th at 12.84. Boys' 200, Mason Bothan was 9th at 25.47, and then Tygan Allpress was 11th at 26.19. So, like I said, good marks for especially those two, especially Mason, who's only a ninth grader, first year off a track for us. So he really kind of stepped in there nicely to do that for us. 400-meter run, Tanner Callis was 11th, 58.72. 800, we didn't run a 4x8 boys, so we kind of moved them into the – we ran with a kind of – just to see what we can do with the load or put our distance. Tayden Clark was second overall at 212.78. Gavin Carl was right behind her at 214.09. So that's a good. Those two are going to be a good 1-2 punch for us that we're going to need throughout the season as we start getting the meets where we try to score more points. Those are going to be kind of our big ones there. Then Tayden Clark was fourth in the mile, 454.34. And then Gavin Carl was fifth at 456.87. Boys 110 hurdles, James Weber had a really good race with a kid from Bertha Hewitt. James ended up getting him at the lean, struggled with the first couple of hurdles, then cleaned himself up, and then got through. Like I said, probably his biggest issue was a start. You know, he cleans that start up. That's going to change a lot of things. He went 15.93, and then Riley Borman was 8th at 21.59. 300 hurdles, James Weber was 2nd. Started out really – he basically – hit the first hurdle, did not look sharp, stuttered really bad, and that really, he could never get back into the race. Yeah, he was clean the rest of the way through, but just, it's so much part of those hurdles is the momentum of him and getting over, and he struggled with that. But he still finished second, a decent time with the struggle at 43.19. And then Riley Borman was ninth at 50.89, and then Joseph Felton was right behind him at 51.18 to finish 10th. 4x1 finished second. That was Dave Torgerson to Mason Bothan to Gabe Lowry to Tygan Allpress. They went 46.76. And they are also in the same boat as what the girls were off the short line. So Dave actually ran a shorter one. Hate telling the kids that, but the first guy got the shortest of the 100, so, but that's the way it is. 4x2 was second, 140.16. And that was Eli Hagelin to Mason Bothan to David Torgerson and to Brayson Boyk. 4x4 just really, really ran well. We just see what we can do and just let them go. And It really was impressive. They were pretty much, we were leading pretty much first or second throughout all the legs, and just came down to the end. Just had kid from Minnewaska was just a little bit stronger with Tanner, but again, a little cleaner handoffs, a little better movement. I thought we could be make it even more interesting, but 3:43.65, and that was James Weber to Tayden Clark to Gavin Carl to Tanner Callis. 4x8, we did not run. Boys high jump, Brayson Boyk won it 6'4", which is impressive to come out with 6'4" this early. Now the question is, can we get, you know, how high can we go? And that's just kind of what we're working on. Eli Hagelin tied for second at 5'10". Again, that's a good jump for him to kind of get himself in that same boat. Boys long jump, Boyk won the long jump, 20 feet, 1.5. Eli Hagelin was fifth at 17 feet, 8 inches. And then that's what kind of we looked at with that. So those guys were good marks for us in there. Boys triple, Eli Hagelin was second for 39 feet, 1 inch. If you're wondering why Brayson's not in the mark, it just technique-wise, he hasn't had a chance. We've been busy with stuff. He hasn't been able to get technique, and so he did not get a mark in, but that's just the way it goes. Early, you get your scratches and go, and then, you know, that was the way it is. Shot put, top thrower was Noah Meyer. He's 19th at 33 feet 10, and in the discus, our top thrower was Anthony Tafoya, is 23rd at 76.07. Girls finished sixth with 67 points, and the boys were third with 107 points, so you know, it's a good start to find where we are. And, you know, the weather wasn't too bad. It got cool as it went in there just because that ground is cold enough that sun started sneaking in. Then we went Thursday, and like I said, it was not very nice on Thursday. And really liked the way the kids competed. It really wasn't as windy, but once it got to probably about the 300 hurdles to the 2 mile, it really was ugly. But you know, you got through, you had to compete, you know, just kind of, you know, fight through. I know some of the kids are a little eerie of it. It was like, you got to learn to be able to handle this stuff because you never know what you're going to have throughout the year, handle the conditions. And they did, and, you know, a little bit of motivational times, and they got themselves through. Then it got to the 4x4, and then weather just, the wind just stopped by the time. But when you're running your last race at 8:45 at night, a lot of things stop at 8:45 at night. But overall, like a lot of teams, too many teams for as early. Like 15 teams were there. Our top boy in the 100 was Tygan Allpress. He was 14th at 12:29. Our girls' top runner there was Marn Woolley at 19th at 15:01. 200 meter dash, Mason Bothan was 11th overall at 26.55. Sadie Hacker was our top one in the 200 for girls. She was 13th at 31.32. 400 meter run. On the boys' side, we got Tanner Callis at 8th, time of 58.40, and Micaiah Poost was 5th at 107.52. 800-meter run, Tayden Clark was 3rd overall. He finished 215.36. Girls 800, Bryn Gleggy was 3rd at 250.05. Harper Grunholz was 6th at 259, and then Abigail Alonzo was 7th at 314. Chloe Gleggy ran her best mile for the conditions, which is very, very good. She ran smart. She let the other girl break to win for the first lap and a half. Then she took off and just basically looked very, very smooth. And I'm hoping that's kind of, we get into that mentality she is going to put together. She went 5:50. And so that's her best time, you know, her career time. So you got to like the way to do that in the wind conditions, which she had. But like I said, I thought she ran very, very smart with the boys' mile. Gavin Carl was 2nd. At 5:06.48, and he did the ugly double. You go from 4x8 to miles, not a lot of time rest. But like I said, we were using his conditioning to kind of train through a little bit. James Weber was first in the 110 hurdle, 16.14. Had a bad first hurdle, and again, we got to work on that. Just keep more reps. But it was a good race with him and the Monty kid, and those two are going to kind of fight each other throughout the season, which is good for you, having competition. Hasted was third in the 100 hurdles, time is 18.52. And James was 16.14 if I didn't hurdles. He was first also, 43.58. And the 300 hurdles for girls, Alexis Olson was 13th at 103.11. Then 4x1s, boys were 7th. That was David Torgerson to Mason Bothan to Gabe Lowry to Tygan Allpress. They were 50.57. Girls were also 5th. They have 57.83. That was Ayanna Hasted to Bailey Botham to Sadie Hecker to Hannah Oy. 4x2, boys, we end up finishing eighth. That was 143.31, but we had really 50% of our handoffs weren't very good, so that's not a good sign when you're kind of playing those odds. But that's what the wind, handling the wind, just kids were running into. We didn't read each other very well, but that's when you're putting inexperienced kids in spots. You're going to have that, but still finished eighth. That was Eli to Mason, to Dave, to Brayson. Girls, 4x2 was fourth. That was Morgan Hansen to Sadie Rosendahl to Bailey Botham to Addie Tufto at 202. 4x4, really had a fun 4x4 for these kids because you sit around cold, wind, just nothing, and just you aren't sure of yourself. And then the weather dropped, and I thought we had both of our boys and girls 4x4s really, really handled the conditions and competed nicely for the way it was. And you weren't going to run your season best in that conditions, but I thought they handled themselves very well. We ran our same four of James Weber to Dayton Clark to Gavin Carl to Tanner Callis. We were third. We cleaned the handoff off. We're second. But again, that's just the way it is. You compete and you go 349.17. Girls 4x4. Really, we had to change. One girl was nicked up a little bit. We weren't going to take any chances with her. So then I asked Ayanna Hasted, could you jump in and do a leadoff for us? And she's not. She doesn't like anything. That cord is long for her. But she still gave us a great leadoff leg, put us in that spot, and then we nip and tucked on that front side all the way through and went 432.81 and had a great Tufto, had a chase down, almost got the girl from McCray at the end, but we were only less than a second behind, so we closed and ran really well. That was Hasted to Micaiah Poos to Sadie Rosenau to Addie Tufto. 4x8, this ran a 4x8 boys for the first time. Tayden Clark to Gavin Carl, Joseph Felton to Tanner Callis. They were 9.28. And then the girls 4x8 was second, 11.37.74. Taylor Wood to Bryn Gligge to Harper Grunholz to Micaiah Poos. And the shot put, flip this here. There we are. Shot put for boys, Noah Meyer was our top toss at 37 feet. And then in the discus, Haley Anderson was our top sixth at 83.75. And then in the high jump, Brayson Boyk, for the windy conditions and cold, he cleared 6.4. He had the high jump one. They moved up 2 inches to 6.4. And very, very solid. We said, we're done. Just, again, he got that good part there. He, weather's good. You tried for 6.5 or 6.6. But that's really, really good for the conditions he handled. And so that was good for him. And then Eli Hagan was third overall at 5'8". And the long jump for girls, our top long jump in the girl was Abigail Alonzo, and she ended up finishing 32nd, and that was at 8'10". And in I'm missing one page here, must get print. I'll catch it in a second. Triple jump for girls. Top jumper there was Reese McCoy at 29.9, and that's a PR for her, I believe. Long jump, Brayson Blake was third at 19'6". He had to do basically what we call it a bailout jump just to get a mark. He scratched. He was all up thing there. He missed that one off on that, so he ended up being an issue with that, but still 19'7". Eli Hagan was seventh at 18'2". So, again, that's kind of where we fit in there. I know I'm missing. Oh, well. If I'm missing one, I'll just have to catch a little heat for it later. That's the way it is. It'll be in the paper. They got it covered. So, but a lot of things going on there, John. Yes, a lot of things.
What's up next for the track team?
They have moved the meet from Tuesday to Monday. Now it's going to be a 7 through 12 meet, so it's going to be junior high all the way through senior high. So that's going to be kind of our fight there.
Because of the forecast
rain? Because of the forecast rain. Okay. Now they're talking rain here Monday night, Tuesday, and then they're talking crap on Thursday, Friday, like high of 43, gusting to like 30-mile-an-hour winds.
Wow.
So we're going to fight that garbage. So it's going to be just a pain in the butt there. So we're going to have to fight through what we got there and go from there. So okay. That's what we got.
All right. Thanks for the report there. You got a lot of things going on there. Jeepers. How do you keep all the kids straight?
Well, some days it's just, hey, you. That's just the way it is.
Hey, you.
That's the way it goes. But, no, it's better when you're seeing them. But, it's the kids, like I said, we're coming along.
Good. All right. Thanks for coming in again, John. Appreciate it.
Sounds good. Oh, I should mention our junior high coach, Zach Gierman, had a baby boy on Friday. So new addition to that family. So we'll get him back. So he's going to add another addition. That'll be good for them. So I wanted to remind on that one.
That's right. Zach's a good guy. All right. Thanks, John, for coming in again.
No problem.
And we'll talk Loughborough baseball right after this.
Sparkling ice water. Goodbye, plain. Hello, plain awesome. Sparkling ice is a fizzy, flavorful, and not bland beverage without all the calories. They're one of the biggest brands in the sparkling water category. If you're looking to put a little sparkle in your step, look no further than the delicious lineup of waters. Sparkling ice, distributed by Madison Bottling Company, serving the local area for more than 100 years. You'll find quality meat for your family's table at the Country Butcher, downtown Dawson. Stop by right downtown or give them a call, 320-769-2238. The Country Butcher will accept credit cards, checks, EBT, SNAP, and cash. This week at the Country Butcher, butter just $5 a pound. Marinated chicken breasts are 10% off. Store hours Tuesday through Friday, 10 a.m. to 5:30 p.m. Saturdays, 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. Sunday by appointment. That's the Country Butcher in Dawson. They're a cut above the rest.
Jim's Clothing and Sporting Goods, right downtown Dawson, Minnesota, is your one-stop shopping headquarters for graphic art design, embroidery, screen printing, and specialty advertising products. They specialize in corporate, team, and school clothing, hats, jackets, t-shirts, sweats, advertising specialties for any occasion like family reunions, summer camps, and more. Awards and sporting goods. At Jim's Clothing and Sporting Goods in Dawson, they offer personalized stock or custom graphic designs to fit any job you may need. Give them a call at 320-769-2317 for information or look them up on the web at www.jimsclothing.com.
And once again, we want to thank our sponsors, Madison Bottling Company, the Country Butcher, and Jim's Clothing and Sporting Goods for sponsoring the Coach's Show. I think they've been on since day one here on the Coach's Show. Darby Biergon, head coach of the Loughborough baseball team, is in the studio patiently waiting. John has a lot to go through there, doesn't he?
Yeah, I thought I was busy, but holy smokes, I felt like I needed to get him some oxygen just to make it through the coach's show. Whoa.
I don't know. He keeps all the kids straight.
That's right.
Amazing.
Yeah.
He's been doing it a long time, though.
He's probably got a...
You got a long ways to catch up to
John. I got a few years to catch up to John.
Hey, thanks for coming in the studio to talk baseball.
Yeah, you got it. No problem. We got one game to talk about here. First game of the year. So we headed to Prinsburg, CMCS, on Thursday. Ended up being a little bit of a chilly, cold day, but, you know, with spring baseball in Minnesota. Again, first game of the year, so, you know, we didn't really know what to expect. It was actually our first time seeing live hitting off a mound. Just the conditions didn't allow us to do that in practice and stuff. So, you know, we're kind of itchy to see what we were going to bring to the game, and it turned out to be okay. We ended up pulling away with 11-1 win. The boys threw the ball well, they hit the ball well, and we fielded the ball well, which is always a little questionable in that first game. So we came away with that game without any errors. And I told my wife, I think we're going to have to pick up a second job because we have this rule if they have no errors from the next day. So
donuts.
If that continues, this might be an issue for my pocket.
Can I be on the team?
Yeah. We got room if you got eligibility. So.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
Yeah. No, that's it's kind of a reward for the boys, and they're excited to get it when they, you know, that's the first thing they said. Hey, did we have any errors? All right, donuts. Thanks for reminding me.
I hate to be the person that does commit an error during the game.
Yeah, no. Yeah, but, you know, we talk about that, too. Yeah. It's in the scorebook, so you know what's going to happen. Yeah. Just can't hang your head if you do have one and go on to the next play. So, but luckily, we didn't have to worry about that on Thursday.
Yeah, I've never been over to Prinsburg for a baseball game before they got wide open with the wind and everything.
Yeah, you know what? In however many years I've been playing ball and coaching ball, that was the very first time I've ever been there, too.
Oh, really?
Since I moved back and was the assistant volunteer coach with Bart, I was never able to make it over there, and he also reminded me that either the last 2 years he'd been coaching or last 3 or 4 years, I don't remember, but they had moved the game that was supposed to be in Prinsburg to Loughborough because of weather conditions or wet field and stuff like that. So I didn't really know what to expect. It's kind of on the north end of town, and of course we had a northwest wind, and we had a little bit of rain that shut us down for a minute or two.
A little hail, too.
Yeah, a little hail. I went out and told the umps. I said, these umps are getting weak nowadays. You know, I knew them pretty well. But, it's always a good time to give them heckle them a little bit, and they take it well.
All right. Tell us some individual stuff there.
Right. So, I said, we came away with 11-1 win in the first inning. We put up two runs. Dylan Keimig walked and scored on Dylan Geiser's double, and then Dylan Geiser scored on a pass ball. We didn't score any in the second. In the third, T.J. Mitchell reached on an error. He stole second and scored on Davis Patzer's double. And he moved up to third on Cale Benson's single and scored on another pass ball. So we're taking advantage of getting decent leads down third base and taking advantage if we see that ball get in the dirt and get to the fence. So the boys did a good job of recognizing a dirt ball and moving quickly on that. In the fourth was kind of our big inning. We scored five runs there, and they all came with two outs. So Dylan Geiser walked and moved up to second on Caden Molden had a sacrifice bunt placed perfectly. I know some people maybe questioned the point of why are we bunting up 4-0. This coming week, which we'll talk about, is we got three games coming up, and we're trying to limit our pitch count, and we wanted to get out of there as soon as we can. So if we can score as many runs as possible and end it soon if we can, that's our whole goal. And I know Molden's a really, really good bunter, and I thought, hey, we can move him up and get him on base too. So Molden laid down a really nice bunt.
Yeah, I think that was kind of a feat. Featured picture in the West Central
right,
Tribune.
Yeah, it was a good picture.
Was that the bunt you're talking about?
Yeah, right. Yep, right. You could see Caden's eyes down on the ball, put it down third base. He was close to another step of beating that ball, too, for a base hit. But, you know, that's part of team baseball. If you're asking the bunt to move another guy up and putting a bunt down, that's just showing that you're putting the team before your own stats and stuff like that. So, yeah, Caden did a really nice job with that. And then we kind of moved on from that. We had another out after that, but we scored our five runs as soon as we had two outs. So that's nice to keep moving, even if we had two outs at the time. So, T.J. walked after our second out and stole second, scored on an E6 by there was an error. Davis Patzer put the ball in play again, and he moved up to second on a throwing error. And then Davis stole third. Brock Bierneld walked, and they both scored on Landon Weber's single. So Landon Weber put a good hit on the ball and brought those two guys in. Weber later on Peyton Rademacher's double that went to left center, and Peyton felt bad. He got thrown out at third trying to make it into a triple, but I told him, hey, that was my fault. I was waving you through, and then we just talked about if you can see the ball, you know your speed better than I do, so if you want to hold up in that situation, go ahead and hold up, and we had a good laugh about that, but I told him that was not his fault. That was on me, and it's fine. We got five runs, so we had a pretty comfortable lead and felt good moving on from there. And we scored two more runs in the fifth, and Dylan Keimig started out with a single, moved to second on an error, and stole third base. Molden walked and stole second at the same time that Dylan Keimig took third base. So it's kind of one of those things. He didn't know the steal was on. Keimig took it on a timing play where he was timing the pitcher, but he was a good enough base runner where he recognized that we stole and move up to second also at the same time. Then Brayden Danzeason came in for a pitch hit, which is good for Brayden. He's coming off of two shoulder surgeries, which is, you know, some days he's pretty sore and tender in the shoulder still. And I just say, hey, you take it at the time you want. We don't want to risk this injury anymore. You know, I know you know your body and your shoulders better than I do. So, but he had a really nice RBI single that brought Keimig in. And then Molden scored on an error We brought Brennan Sherbin to run for Brayden after he had a single, and they must have been scared of Brayden's wheels because they threw over to first and nobody was covering, and they threw the ball out in the right field, and then Molden was able to score on that, and Brennan ended up over on third base with me. So we got two runs in the fifth and shut him out in the fifth, and that was a 10-run rule. And we went away with an 11-1 win. We should probably talk a little bit about our pitching also. We combined for a no-hitter. The guys pitched well. I know Dylan Geiser started on the mound for us. He struggled at the beginning, but he's experienced enough where he figured out what he was doing wrong and stuff like that. And that's where they scored their one run was on a fielder's choice. We had the bases loaded from a few walks there. Dylan ended up throwing two innings. He gave up one run. It was earned. He had three walks, and he had four strikeouts. And I know Dylan's not happy with that, but we got to remember it was the first time on the mound, and he'll come back from that, no problem. Brock Bierneld came in. He ended up getting the win. He threw two innings. He had no runs, no hits, and he walked two with five strikeouts. And then Cade Mortensen finished out that last inning for us. He threw one inning, no hits, no runs, no walks, and he had one strikeout. We had a total of 94 pitches between the three of them, which we were pretty happy with. It's maybe a little bit high per inning. Dylan Geiser threw 47, Brock threw 40, and Mort threw 7 in that last inning. So a real low number for Mort, which was good to see. Hitting-wise, Dylan Keimig was 1-for-2 with 2 runs, 2 walks, and a stolen base. Dylan Geiser was 1-for-3 with 2 runs, a double, a walk, and RBI. TJ had a big day on the bases. He was 1-for-2 with 2 runs, 2 walks, and he had 3 stolen bases. Davis Pastor was 1-for-3 with 2 runs. It was a double, his hit, and he had a stolen base. Cale Benson was 2-for-2 with a stolen base. Lennon Weber was 1-for-3 with 2 RBIs. Peyton Rademacher was 1-for-3 with a double and an RBI. Brayden Danzeezen was 1-for-1 with an RBI. And then we had Molden with the sack. He also had a stolen base. And then we also have the opportunity in baseball to have courtesy runners. So we had Baxter Kulloff run for Lennon Weber. He had a stolen base in that situation. And Tyler Earp came in and ran for our pitcher and had a stolen base also. So it's nice that we have some speed and some good base running to have courtesy runners to give our pitchers and catchers some breaks also.
Good season opening win there, Paul.
Yeah, it's a good feeling to come out with that. And with the week coming up, limiting to 5 innings and keeping our pitch count down, yep. So then we have rush coming for the week ahead if we're able to play.
And what is that schedule for next week?
Sure. So we go to Hancock on Monday for a 4:30 game. That sounds like it's supposed to be a pretty decent day on Monday. Tuesday, we are at Ortonville for 4:30. We'll see what the weather does. And Thursday, we're slated for the home opener with the new stadium and everything here in Madison. So it would be nice to get as many fans down there and check out the new stadium. And the boys are excited to play on the home field. That's slated for 5 o'clock against RCW, weather depending. So.
Yeah, that's right. Well, Thursday, a lot made at Madison Memorial Baseball Field this
week. Yeah, the last 2 weeks, it's really come together here. You know, the boys were yesterday at practice, we moved the bleachers. I can't remember who said it, but we looked like the Amish moving the bleachers going step by step. And so that was nice to get that in place.
They got the big stair, the Madison Welding moved in the big stairs.
The stairs in the back look wonderful. The press box, if you get a chance to get up there, the view up there is great. We don't have the railing yet for the seating up there, which you won't be able to sit at yet, eventually it will, and it's a really good view up there.
All right. All right, anything else, Donnie?
Yeah, you know, the only thing I'd like to mention is, and I forgot to do it on the last coach's show, is that we don't have a Boosters Club for the baseball, but what our players do is they send out letters to friends and family, and the support and money that we've gotten from that is unbelievable. So I'd just like to thank everybody out there. I'm trying to write thank yous to every single one of them, so if you haven't gotten yours yet, it's coming. We appreciate it. I've got... my wife at home, she's putting stamps on like crazy. My daughter Hattie's helping me seal envelopes and everything. So Rory's downstairs playing Xbox, of course, but he knows about it.
There you go.
So No, we appreciate everything that everybody is doing for our team.
If somebody wants to donate to the baseball club, how can they do that?
They could absolutely contact me with my email. You can find an address or anybody on the baseball team, and we'll put you in contact. But it's great. We've been buying new equipment for the boys, and it all goes right back to our team and into the boys.
All right, Darby, thanks for taking the time and coming down to the studio today and talking Lockbarrow baseball.
You got it, Paul. We appreciate you guys having us on.
All right, that's head coach Darby Biergon of the Eagles baseball team, and we'll take a commercial break, continue with the coaches show right after this.
Shadowland Farms Trucking of Appleton offers custom trucking, lime application, and excavation. Call Brad Mitchell for more information at 320-297-0142. And Shadowland Farm Trucking is a proud sponsor of all Lacaparral Valley sports and activities. Ryan Smith Seeds says it's time to make every seed count with AgriPartners Premier Seed Line AP Select, offering varieties with Enlist E3, Liberty Link GT27, and conventional soybeans, as well as Roundup Ready to Extend soybeans in a premium corn lineup through REA Hybrid. We have a seed product fit for your field. Call Ryan Smith today at 320-226-1079 or AgriPartners at 605-874-2550. Ryan Smith Seeds.
Welcome back to the Saturday Morning Coaches Show. We're going to turn our attention to Lacapelle Valley Softball with head coach Scott Sawatsky. He joins us from Appleton over by the phone. And morning, Scott.
Morning, Paul. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, you bet. Beautiful Saturday to be outside, right?
It is. It'd be a great game, great day for two games.
Okay, that's right. Well, tell us how the Eagle girls did this year, this week.
Yeah, so we started off, first game of the year was against RTR on Monday. And RTR is a team that I really anticipate will be maybe a section favorite to advance on to state. They have just a completely dominant pitcher, and she truly has been as she started off the season in Kaya Alderson. And she definitely had her number on this day. We ended up getting beat 1-0 in this game. So considering that they're a front runner in our section, or one of the favorites, I was pleased with our girls and how they competed. Sometimes in that first game, just timing, all of that good stuff isn't quite. Of course, I've got to give her the respect too, that she's just that good. But Val Piotr started for us. It was a windy, cold, rainy, miserable day, and I was so proud of Val, how she competed in this game. She threw all seven innings for us. Alderson from RTR, she threw a no-hitter, and our lineup's pretty salty. I think we have enough athletic girls where we might be one of the most athletic teams in our conference for sure. But Val matched her. You know, Val threw a three-hitter and only gave up one run and ended up with four strikeouts and three walks. The unfortunate thing is the one of the hits that she gave up was a home run. I don't know that it was necessarily a completely legitimate home run. The wind was blowing out to left field, and that's where it went. But it is what it is, taking advantage of the circumstances. So, but I can't say enough about her first outing of the year. And that's one of the things I talked about, is just we've got some players coming in that are maybe unproven and yet we're excited about. And I thought Val took a really nice first step to prove herself that she's ready to compete. So she kept us in the game. I thought defensively we were very sound. Val got us a lot of ground balls, and every one of our infielders, which I think is a strength for us this year, made solid plays, from Kendall Shelstead, Brandy Meyer, Kayla Jan, Jalen Lee. And Val fielded her position as well. I couldn't have been prouder for how they competed. Later in that game, we had some opportunities in innings 5, 6, and 7. We got runners on base against Kaya. And there were just some things that didn't happen. I think with a team like RTR and facing a pitcher like Alderson, a little bit of small ball has to come into play. And we tried some of that, and it just didn't work out into our favor. But I felt like things were starting to roll a little bit in the later innings. And so I would be very interested to see them again, and that would be great if we could see them late in the section tournament if we can be playing well. So this is a section opponent for us, so we're starting off our season in a pretty salty way. So I thought game one, even though it was a loss, it showed us what we're capable of.
Yeah, it was a heck of a game, really.
Yeah, so. Yes, it was.
All right, stats or?
Yeah, okay. Yep, I think, because Alderson was so dominant, we didn't really have many hitting stats, but Val threw all seven innings, only gave up three hits, one run, an earned run, and then had four strikeouts and three walks. So I think, honestly, that was the tale of things. And then defensively, just a lot of sound. We didn't have a single error, and that's going to be a key for us this year. We made the plays when the ball was put in play. RTR had one error, and we try to take advantage of that. Those errors and extra outs given in an inning can be very beneficial. And so it was just a really clean, solid, fun game to compete in, and unfortunately we came out on the short end of the stick there.
And what Kaya Alderson has done since you played her has been phenomenal. I've never seen a pitcher dominate so much in the first four games for RTR. She's got some 50-some strikeouts in four games.
Yeah, she's the real deal, that's for sure.
All right, and last night you were down in your hometown there, Scott.
Yeah, I went down to Slayton, and it's always fun to see some people that I've known throughout the years, and the girls were ready to compete, and really put too much stock into that, but I guess maybe, you know, a little bit, because I said if we can get this W, I'd really appreciate it. We started off really well. Val started in the circle for us again through three really solid innings. And we ended up, we're up 2-1 after three innings. And we're making some plays. We're doing some good things. We did have a couple base running blunders that maybe didn't help our colleague. Like, we could have tacked a few more runs onto the board, and that's something that I realize we've got to work a little bit more on, help the girls to find success there and whatnot. Sometimes I take things for granted, and so I've already taken some notes for what we need to work on Monday. But in the top of the second, we really got things rolling. Brandy Meyer put a ball in play and advanced to second base on a throwing error. Claire Borsted put a ball in play, and Brandy advanced to third. So all of a sudden, you get first and third situations and puts the defense on their heels. Val Piotr hits a single. Jada Kester puts a ball in play, gets on via air. Zoe Doctor hits a hard ball up the middle, hits one of our base runners. So that was kind of a one of those deals where, shoot, we had a runner from third that was going to score. It was probably going to be a single, so we were probably going to score a second run from the runner on second. And, you know, just things happen. And it was a hard hit ball. And anyway, that kind of put a damper on that second inning. And then in the fourth inning, MCC got their bats rolling a little bit. I should say, in the top of the fourth, we tacked on another run, so we were up 3-1. Feeling pretty good at this point. And then in the bottom of the fourth, MCC got bats rolling. We gave up some hits, and all said and done, we, at the end of that inning, they had scored six runs, so now they're up 7-3 on us. So we go into the fifth, they shut us down there. And defensively, we get out there, we started the fifth inning, we committed two errors. We got a ground out, so technically that should have been three outs right there with no damage done. And then afterwards, there were a couple walks, a couple hits, and then a girl got a ball up in the air and ended it on a grand slam, you know, unearned runs. And that's the killer. We have five errors that we had in that game, and that's a big deal, those extra runs. So I've got to figure out some ways to make sure that we are making those plays, because for our pitchers to have to get four, five, six outs in an inning, that's a big hurdle to overcome. And the girls are doing their best. We just have to get better, and that'll be on me to help us do that.
Mm-hmm. Okay, stats on the night then?
Yeah. So our leading hitters, Brandy Meyer went 3-for-3. I can tell she's really starting to see the ball. She's got super quick hands. Zoe Doctor did a nice job. She went 2-for-2 for us. Val Piotr was 1-for-2. Claire Borsted was 1-for-3. Kayla Jan was 1-for-3. And Jalen Lee was 1-for-3. So the bats came alive. We had nine hits. We had runners on base. Did a nice job there. Just maybe had a few runs that we left out there. And then Val Piotr pitched three in a third inning. And gave up seven hits, seven runs, six of them were earned, had three strikeouts and two walks. I thought she did a nice job of keeping us in the game there. Just in the, like I said, in the fourth inning, MCC bats seemed to maybe start to get on her a little bit. So I went to Kendall Shellstead at that point. Kendall ended up throwing an inning and a third. She only gave up two hits, gave up six runs, but none of them were earned. And had four walks and no strikeouts. So, you know, we're in the early stages here, and we're just looking to keep getting better. We do get into conference play now this week. On Tuesday, if weather allows, we play Ortonville in a doubleheader. And then on Thursday, we're at McRae in a doubleheader. And so I'm hopeful that we can pick up some wins. I think the girls need it right now, and just build that confidence up.
That's right. Yeah, so when you start conference play, it's double headers now, 2 7-inning games, right?
Well, not always. Okay. When we play the North teams in the Camden Conference, it'll be double headers, and then when we play the South teams, it'll just be single 7-inning games. And we went to that so we could see other section teams, because I wanted to, you know, I want to see RTR. I want to see Murray County Central. I want to see Wabasso. Teams that we're going to see in the section tournament, it's just kind of nice to see them at least once in the season to get a scouting report on them and figure out maybe some strategies on what we can do in-game to find success.
That's right. Scott, I just want to compliment you on what you've done with the softball complex up there when I was broadcasting the game against RTR. I noticed your home run sponsors on the third base dugout there. That really looks sharp.
I was listening to Darby and all the support that the Madison Field is getting too, and I can't thank people enough for their generosity and what they're doing for the girls. I mean, the equipment that we have that just doesn't fit into our school budget, the things that we're able to do and prepare for, the brand new batting cages out there. We're holding off on some things because the referendum project is going to be rolling here. It'll start next summer, but we're trying to save up some of that money so that we can tackle projects that maybe aren't able to be included in that referendum project. But the support is just phenomenal, and there's 31 signs on that home run clump sponsor dugout, so that's pretty cool.
Yeah, and you'll hear from your only senior, I believe, on the team, Claire Borstad. She'll mention those sponsors when we get done here. So
I just
wanted to mention that. So, yeah, so a couple games coming up this week, you said, huh?
Yes, yep. So I think the girls are hungry. We're ready to rock and roll. We have some just great athletes, some competitive kids, great kids, and we'll get it turned around.
Quickly, how did JV do this week? You got that off the top of your head?
Yep, I do. They went 2-0. They beat RTR pretty handily, and then they beat MCC last night. I believe it was 7-3.
Okay.
They're looking good. We've got some very promising young kids coming up, which I'm excited to see. I do have to mention last night, Carson Wittenable got her first taste of varsity experience, so we literally called her out of the JV batting box. She was ready to hit.
Oh.
I sent Ryan Lee over. I said, hey, we were making a pitching change. Carson's playing third base, so she did a really nice job. Literally had a put out immediately. So,
nice.
I was proud of her.
You always remember your first varsity action, don't you?
Exactly.
All right, Scott, thanks for the report this morning. Appreciate that, and good luck this week with the softball team.
Well, thanks for having us on. Appreciate all you guys do.
All right, that's Scott Sawatsky, head coach of the Lockport Valley girls softball team. We'll take a commercial break and have more of the Coach's Show right after this.
My name is Claire Borstad, and I'm a senior on the Lockport Valley softball team. Our team would like to thank the following home run sponsors: Lovixing Tiling, Cargill, Holloway Rod and Gun Club, Fernholz Concrete, Clement Electric, Kibble Equipment, Appleton VFW Post 4955, Meyer Farms, Piotr Construction, Trigested Pioneer Seed, Perry Sun Bank, The Dryer Doctors, Martinson Foundation, Blake and Roma Dineen Family, Bellingham American Legion Post number 441, Q92 FM Radio, Milan Legion Post number 359, Healing Journey Massage by Sue, Appleton Dental Care, Joe and Deb Schreier, Appleton Sportsman's Club, Golden Harvest Traeger Seeds, Appleton Area Health, Madison Chiropractic Center, Richard and Sam Meyer Family, Borstad Rock and Excavation, Ag Country, Zarbuck Funeral Home and Cremation Services, Mike and Deanne Munsterman Family, Milan Community Foundation, and the Appleton Community Foundation. Thank you to all our home run sponsors and all donors for your support of our softball program and the LKPV Dugout Club.
Spot on, nice fish.
Nice walleye.
Look at that.
Beautiful.
Minnesota gold right there.
This is the first restaurant in the world that strictly is decolonized menu.
All right, let's try this too.
Oh man, that's good. So earthy and mushroomy.
Where's the seals?
It looks like the ocean.
It's not that cold.
It is that wet though.
What will your Minnesota travel story be? Discover what makes Minnesota the star of the North at ExploreMinnesota.com. Sponsored by Explore Minnesota Tourism, aired by the Minnesota Broadcasters Association and this station.
It's the annual Porter Community Auction Sale, Saturday, April 13th. Vehicles starting at 9:30 and all other rings starting at 10 o'clock. On this community auction, machinery equipment, skid loader attachments, livestock equipment, vehicles, miscellaneous building materials, and many household and personal property items. We attract buyers from far and wide. Come on over to Porter for the Porter Community Auction this Saturday. Sale sponsored by Porter Town & Country. Auction listing online, sdauctions.com, allauctionsales.com, portermn.org. Find us on Facebook at Lorenzen Auction. Questions? Call Charlie at 605-695-6240.
Taking a look at a couple things going on around the area here this weekend. Madison Mercantile will be hosting Poetry in the Prairie featuring Athena Kildegard, Brendan Sturmer, and others. That'll be today at 3 o'clock this afternoon, social hour 5 p.m. That's at Madison Mercantile, and everyone's welcome. St. Leo Church Men's Club is having an all-you-can-eat pancake and sausage supper on Sunday from 5 to 7. That's a free will donation event in the St. Leo Church basement. Everybody's encouraged to come on over. If there's a wedding in your future, be sure to come out to the Watson Hunting Camp for their wedding expo going on today. It's from 10 to 2. Variety of vendors will have all kinds of services and products on display. That's the Watson Hunting Camp Wedding Expo, 10 to 2 today.
Paul Ramo back in the studio wrapping up the Saturday Morning Coaches Show. Unfortunately, unable to fit Austin Ireland and the Dawson Boyd Loch Pearl Valley boys tennis team in. We'll hear from Austin later on this morning here on Q92. Plus, the tennis interview there that I did with Austin yesterday will be up on our podcast at klqpfm.com. And that wraps another Saturday Morning Coaches Show. Dick Newman will be back in his chair next Saturday with our Dick Newman Sick Joke of the Week. Have a great weekend, everyone.
Farmers Lumber, located in Hendricks, Minnesota.